Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm not too bad. You know, I should have listened to my intuition this morning.
Yes.
I woke up at 5:30. Like, oh gosh, what time is it? And then I woke up at 6:30. And then I woke up at 7:18 when my son should have already been on the bus at that time. I had to drive to school, which wasn't far at all. But I thought that my alarm was set, but I think that was God in the universe telling me, wake up, check your phone. But it helped me be more awake and ready to go this morning, so it all worked out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, sometimes that happens, right?
Right.
So we keep hitting the snooze button. But sometimes spirit wakes us up for a reason, you know?
Right. Right.
Sometimes, you know.
And it was like I was in the middle of this dream, and it was different. And I something like this gal on nachos in a line, and then the other one was about finding her. I had her glasses or something, like, oh yeah, these are my glasses, you know. And so I haven't had a chance to really look up all that stuff yet, you know. But I'm like, huh, you know, it's like maybe seeing something out there, you know. And I don't know. I got to check it out.
Right.
Got half of the meditation going while I was getting some water and all of that. And working. Go, Abby. My cat, she's afraid of the sprinklers out there that I remembered to finally turn on a week ago. This week it's been a little challenging. I won tickets to Laughs Comedy Club, and then Martin was there, and then I told him, and I've been telling a couple other people about, you know, being like a mastermind, and like, well, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'll have to decide. I said, well, no, it's just kind of the same as being a friend, and we got each other's back and believing in each other, you know. But
right.
Some are like, I don't know, do we have to do anything? Well, maybe meet for coffee once, or, you know, or just pick up the phone call, or, you know. But it's kind of few and far between on my end here.
That's okay. And
yeah.
You know, the other thing too is, obviously you want people that are in the same mindset. The other people, it's like, you know, it's like somebody says, oh, do I have to do a lot of stuff? Well, then, if they're not seeing it, or they're not understanding it, then it's not somebody that you do want to have a mastermind with, because you're both getting out of it. It's not like it's one sided, like they're being your therapist or something, right? You know, you're both getting out of it. You're both coming together. It's the mastermind is the coming together. You know, it's not the other person's not the mastermind. You're not the mastermind. It's the mastermind is the people coming, the group coming together, the two or more coming together. So,
well, I think.
Yeah.
I think the everybody that I know has their life. Well, I have to say it in the most positive way here. Okay, everyone else around me is higher on the scale financially, and I'm where my dad's paying my mortgage.
Right.
For right now, and which really sucks. And I'm like, okay, I've been saving up some money, and you know, and you know, trying to save up, and then today I was thinking like, okay, well, we have to, you know, then I was thinking like, okay, you know, I did pay a little bit of cash on the payments here. I'm like, well, how much did I put on the credit card? You know, like, okay, I may have some of that, you know, and then it's like, you know, it's like, no, I will have the money to pay all of it, you know, and then so, you know, the mindset. And then, like, my son decided that he wants to go to Fiesta Island for the, in California, for the Boy Scouts, you know. And so it's like, oh, we've been missing these $100 payments all along here, and now they need this, you know. And so my ex wasn't very happy, and I had to sit there and say, I'm sorry, did you take them to Florida last year? That's on my credit card. Did you go to Colorado? Did you, what did you do for your son? You're his father. Quit whining. You know, like, where are you wasting your $100 a week then? You know, what are you, do you have some girlfriend and some kid there? No, this is your son. Step up. Don't sit here and whine and bitch about it, because this is his one summer thing. You know, even though my son and I will probably, my mom wants to see us in Florida. You know, we texted during Easter and lately, and you know, my dad's up in Colorado trying to fix up the place to sell, and so she's like really missing everybody, and you know, so it's like, yeah, that payment will be on my credit card. You know, he doesn't have any payments on his credit card from the past, you know, 10 trips that I've taken with my son that he hasn't. You know, so it's just kind of craziness there, but it's like, no, so it's like it'll take me a little bit longer than the other people out there that I know to pay bills, but I can pay them, you know, when I can pay them, because that would be positive, of course, but it's a little, you know, I'm not their same level, so it's kind of like they're, you know, one girl, Gina, who's a massage therapist, more of the counselor one. I think she's closer into my boat, too. But, so, yeah, it's so they kind of, like, see, like most of them say, like, well, they wouldn't really think that they, oh, I can't speak for them, but it's like, they're probably, like, well, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, these people are already really successful, so they probably, you know, but they can be there for the help, the guidance, and all of the good stuff like that, you know. So there's benefits in every person, of course. And so
there's a couple things. First of all, probably 95% of the people out there don't even, have never even heard of these concepts, these ideas that we've been discussing.
Right.
Over the past 9 or 10, you know, sessions, and the other thing too is just, you know, it's how you define success. So you may see them as like, okay, well they're doing much better financially, so that's success. But if you scratch the surface, you go a little bit deeper. Do they have success in every area of their lives? And for most people, they don't. There are dissatisfactions. There are imbalances. It's not always what you see on the surface. Because some people, you know, it's like, you know, if you're going to a party, you get all dressed up, you put makeup on, you dress really nicely, and you look great, you know, they could look great, but it doesn't mean that, you know, the night before they cried into a pint of Haagen-Dazs because, you know, they're having marital problems or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so you can't really, it's like you can't judge a book by its cover. And the other thing, too, is it's not, you know, not everything's measured by, it's full spectrum wealth. It's not just financial wealth.
Right.
And the other thing is, you know, obviously the way you grew up, you know, you're living in that neighborhood.
Right.
You belong in that neighborhood. You're already there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So just because right now you don't have the financial flow that you would like doesn't mean that you don't belong there or that you are not equal. You know, you're equal to everybody. Right?
Right.
And again, with these principles, it's like we see appearances. You know, we could see appearances of financial lack. We could see appearances of sickness or disease. But we know the truth. The truth is health. The truth is financial abundance. Because that's our source. That's where we come from, right? That's how we were created. And that's the truth. So, you know, part of the lesson here is changing our thinking, changing our frequency where we came from, because we all grew up that way. You know, money doesn't grow on trees, and, oh, we can't afford that, or that's too expensive, or, you know, only rich people do that, or blah, 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 because that's the mindset. It's not nobody's fault. It's just the mindset of how most people think. I mean, it's the same thing with the Enagic business. I mean, I could talk to somebody, and I have, who are literally billionaires with a B, And they say they can't afford a Kangen machine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a mindset. It has nothing to do with anything. And yet I have people that are living in trailer parks that live a cash life. They don't have any credit whatsoever. They don't even have a banking account. And yet they could afford the machine. They bought the machine and we put it in. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it has mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with that, the surface of what you're seeing on the surface. You know, so
mm-hmm.
so it's adjusting our mindset to know that there is abundance everywhere. There's abundance because God is
right.
present everywhere.
Right.
So it's learning this. It's changing our frequency, and you know, like. You may look back over the last 10 weeks, 9 weeks, and 9 sessions, and you may go, oh, you know, I have made some progress here, but I want it to be farther along.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right? And we all do that. We all do that. I mean, I've, you know, Caroline and I spent, you know, I don't want to tell you how much we spent, and the time mm-hmm. and stuff and the intensity. But so it's like in China, there's a certain species of bamboo.
Okay.
And if you plant the seed, the bamboo seed, in the right soil with the right nutrients, and you water it, and it has the right balance of sunshine, in 1 year, the plant will grow 1 inch. In
wow.
1 year. It's 1 year of nurturing.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
The whole second year of nurturing. You're watering it. You're keeping the weeds away. You're keeping the soil just right. You're watering it just right. The sunshine's just right. It will grow 1 inch the second year.
Wow.
You do that for a third year, keeping really focused attention on it, the third year it will grow one more inch. The fourth year, 1 inch. But then something happens at the end of the fifth year where you've been doing this for a long time. You've been nurturing, keeping the soil clean. You've been watering it right. You're giving it the right sunshine. In the fifth year, it shoots up. It could go anywhere from 50 to 120 feet.
Oh, wow. Okay, gotcha.
Boom, overnight. It seems like, whoa, what happened there? Well, why all of a sudden this massive growth when you had 5 years of small growth, little seen progress? Well, what you don't see is that there's a root system. There's a rhizome system underneath the surface that is growing. And so it's like an iceberg. You only see 10% on the top, but underneath, it's growing, it's growing, it's growing. And then all of a sudden, boom, it has this massive growth, and it grows that high. Well, if it grew that high in the first year, it wouldn't survive because it didn't have the root system to support it. And it's the
yeah.
same thing with this work, is as we go through it, it doesn't seem like we're progressing a lot, but we're studying the principles, we're applying it, you know, we're visualizing, we're doing our vision work, we're putting a feeling tone to it, you know, we're busting up the paradigms, we're you know. And it's like we're doing it over and over and over again. We just see 1 inch growth, 1 inch, a little growth here, a little growth there. And you're like, oh, why? What's wrong with me? How come it's not growing so fast? But your root system is growing. And it's growing, okay. it's growing. And then all of a sudden, boom, it seems like it happens overnight. Just like with actors, right? They say, oh, this guy was an overnight mm-hmm. success. All of a sudden he's making millions of dollars and getting all the juicy roles and all that stuff. Yeah, but you didn't see the 10 years that he put in, and as a waiter, you know, bussing tables and working late and working as a bartender and going to auditions and just working on his craft. You don't see that part of it because that's the root system. He's laying his roots down. But all of a sudden, boom, the growth happens. And it's the same thing that's happening here, you know. That's why we do celebrate the wins at the top of each call. We do look for that growth and say, you know what? You know, I did applied this principle, and I felt that growth. The shift happens inside you. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
happen on the outside world. It happens in you, and then it's
right.
reflected on the outside. And you've seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've celebrated all along. We've had those moments. So, like, if you were going to look at your ideal life, your vision life, it's really just a string of perfect days. So not even perfect days, but it's like days that
mm-hmm.
you just absolutely love, all strung together. And if you look at that ideal day, it's just moments, ideal moments that have been strung together. And so what we're doing here is as we work through this, we're having those moments. We say, ah, oh, we get those aha moments and those feel great moments, really connecting to the work. And even when you go through some rough stuff, you know, you have a conversation with your father, or you're trying to solve the receipt with the scooter, or, you know, you're trying to get more massage clients, but you stay in that vibration, you stay in the work, and the work shows. And then you're like, oh, I had this conversation with my dad, and you know, he was saying this, or you should do this, and I just stayed in my light. I stayed, you know, in my ground. I was breathing my air, and it felt so good, you know. Or, you know, it was like I'm looking at the watch, and I'm with Alex in the park, and I'm like, oh, we got to go. And he's like, Mom, we still have time. And then you walk around the corner, and you find this beautiful waterfall. It's those moments, those moments of that ideal life that you're already living, we start to string them together. And the time between them starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller until it's just absolutely flowing. And so it's so easy to compare ourselves with other people. Oh, the neighbors are doing so much better, and they're financially, and they can do this, and they can do that, and this. No, you don't do that, right? We don't put ourselves in the competitive mind. We put ourselves in the creative mind. We hold our vision, you know? We hold our vision of our life. We hold the vision of this weekend. We hold the vision of this week, of this month, of this year, of the next 3 years, the next 5 years. What would I love? This is what I would love. And those root system, that root system continues to grow. This coach that I know, when he became certified and he set up his first group, it happened to be down in Mexico. It's where he was living at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was for entrepreneurs, people that own businesses. And he had, you know, different, it was a sales group. I mean, he was a sales trainer, so his group was all about, you know, sales and selling. And so he had people from different companies that earned different amounts of money per week. So he would look every week, so what's the win this week? Oh, I made $1,000 this week. I made $2,000 this week. And there was this one guy named Brian, and he would come in and say, I made $500 this week. Okay, great. So then the next week, what did you make? This. Everybody's like making, you know, about the same, maybe a little bit more, Brian, $500. Well, fast forward to like week 9, week 10, about what you're in now. Now people are having their breakthroughs. Oh, I had $2,500 a week, and I have a $5,000 a week. And what did you do, Brian? $500 a week. He's like, I don't understand this. I everybody's having the success, and I'm still doing the same. So week 12 comes, and he's like, okay, everybody's celebrating this and that, and they're graduating. And the coach says, you know what, we're going to do this again. We're going to offer this class again. We're going to roll right back into it. And everybody says, yeah, we want to stay in this. We want to stay in the support because we have to keep growing. And Brian's like, I don't know. I know it just doesn't seem like it's working for me. So John pulls him aside and says, listen, You know, you don't see the growth. And he tells the story about the bamboo. He said, you don't see the growth on the surface, but you are laying down these roots. He said, but you have to stay in the support. Because what happens if at that bamboo plant, you said, oh, it only grew 1 inch, and then you abandon it, what happens? It's just going to wither. It's going to die. You have to stay in the support. So he said, okay, I'm going to do this. He said, you know, because that's what a coach does. It says, you know, you may feel wobbly now, but I'm your support. I'm going to stay with you. Okay, great. So he goes through the second round of Dream Builder program, third week, fourth week. People are getting, you know, $5,000, $7,000 a week. Brian goes, oh, I can't have a $700 a week. Oh, great. Next week, $500. Next week, I had a $1,000 a week. Yay. Next week, $500. Next week, $500. Next week, $500. He goes through the whole 12 sessions again, and he's like, I don't know. I don't. Maybe there's just something wrong with me. And John's like, no. You're still laying down root system because, you know, you could see little shifts here and there, but you stay with it. So he gets in and he signs up again, third time around. People, you know, some people left the class, but most of the people stayed, staying with it. We're growing here, nurturing. The gardener's nurturing. There's watering us. You know, we're being fed here. You know, third week, fourth week, $500. And about the 10th week, he comes in, Brian's got this big smile on his face. And John was like, oh, something's up here. So everybody goes around, oh, I had a $7,000 a week, $5,000 a week, da, da, da. I get to Brian. He goes, I had a $2,500 a week. Everybody's going crazy. Everybody's clapping. He said, I have no idea what happened. He said, I didn't feel like I did anything differently, but something shifted inside me. But it was still me. It was still me. But something shifted inside me. He comes the next week, did, you know, $3,000. Next week, $5,000. And so by the time he was finished with the third round, the root system had grown enough. He went from a $500 a week salesperson to a $5,000 a week salesperson. He was earning $20,000 a month. So then years go by, several years go by, you know, and John lost touch with him, with Brian. And then out of the blue, Brian contacts him. He says, you know, or they connected on Facebook or something. Like, oh, how are you doing? He's like, I've been doing great. You know, I met this woman. I fell in love. We had a child. My life's going really well. And he said, I really have to thank you for keeping me in the system, keeping me in the work. He said, I grew a lot inside. I understand now about the root system. He said, there is this new resort that had opened in Mexico, and they were looking for a manager. And my name had come up, or sales manager for it, and my name had come up. And I interviewed, and I got that job. And he said, last year, our sales team won the highest award that they could in sales.
Wow.
Out of all the resorts in Mexico, they had the biggest growth, the biggest. And John, he didn't tell John what he was making, but at that point, he was probably making probably over $2 million a year at that point.
Wow.
And he said, it was all because of that work I had gone through. He said, if it wasn't, I'd still just be a surfer bum, you know, on the beach, you know, living that small life. He said, but because you kept me in the game, you kept me in that system of support, and just kept me focused on the vision, I was able to grow, and my roots grew, and I was able to really, like, have explosive growth. And it wasn't, again, it's not just, I mean, it was sales teams and stuff, and they're talking about the income, but it was full-spectrum wealth. I mean, look what he found in love. He didn't think he would ever find love, let alone mm-hmm. have a family of his own, you know. He just saw himself as just this, you know, mediocre salesperson, a beach bum. He loved to surf, and, you know, and all of a sudden now his root system grew, and he stayed in the work. The work shows, and you are in the work, and I know the work shows. We've talked about
right.
that, you know.
And I was thinking lately, like, hey, so I would have to, because I don't know about the future there with that, but I was thinking, like, okay, how would I go back, you know, through my notes and read and focus on that, you know, and because I'm one that needs the repetition, as you can tell. And
We all do. It's all about doing the reps and doing it wobbly and doing it scared. You know, when you learn to ride a bicycle, you did it wobbly. You know, you fell off mm-hmm. a few times. And you know, when you learn to walk, the same thing. Mm-hmm. We don't do it perfectly. And then and when we were learning to walk, we never fell down that last time and go, you know what, maybe God just doesn't want me to be a walker. I'm just going to give this walking thing up. Not once did we ever think that.
And I was able to practice what I knew. Not really practice, but actually do it. What's going on here in the neighborhood? I'm at the end of the neighborhood, luckily, and I thought I had the bad neighbor next to me, but I don't. This gal, she's a veterinarian. She's really nice, and she's checked out our cat before, and you know she's busy, and so she's trying to build this wall on her property, and the guy and wife, but we're just gonna say the guy Barry, that moved in probably a couple years ago. Is one that you would not want to even have in a whole entire neighborhood. I mean, like a neighborhood of 500, you would not want this guy there because he already sued her because she did something slightly wrong, or, you know, I don't think she did anything wrong trying to build a wall or whatever. It's not even built. All the bricks are out. Everything got dumped off yesterday as we were driving by. This guy is a lawyer. He he's done things illegally from what jives with the neighborhood and the homeowners. He will go at 4 or 5 in the morning, go ring her doorbell. He'll holler, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you," all this crazy stuff. And so yesterday, the day before, we had just a private little homeowners meeting to try to vote him off the board as a president or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, I only have like 20 minutes because then I have to go take him to whatever it was. And so, church. He was volunteering for church with a little encouragement and for the altar boy. And so for all first communion service, you know, and that I kind of persuaded him a little bit. And I'm like, no, God, I can't, you know, it's his decision, you know. And so I went over there and I was watching the clock. And towards the end, I said, well, you know, what we have to do here is we have to think positive. We have to keep all of our positive energy going and to know that, you know, we can do this, but we need all of our minds together working towards this goal of accomplishing this, you know, and in that way, you know. And mm-hmm. I can't remember all what I said because it was almost kind of like I was in a trance, you know.
Right.
And then I said all that, and I said, okay, well, you know, got to go, you know. And I spoke up one time briefly about something, you know, in that short 20 minutes I was there, you know, to mm-hmm. get the gist of what was going on. But Ann had come to my door and told me all what was going on. I sat there and massaged her hands while she could calm down, you know, and she's like, I don't have time for this. The guy's calling these meetings at like 4 or 5 o'clock and I can't get to all my clients and, you know, just craziness. And so, you know, then I'm like, okay, you know, it's like I want to go over there to the Metro Water place and get the guy moving who we're all waiting on or whatever. And this is like the universe and God, like, no, you just stay put. We'll help. We'll take care of it, you know, and it's just, you know, like, it's like, you know, still be praying and all that good stuff by doing something silently without, because she kind of came to me because I'm the one that's not afraid to speak my mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, what will he try to find wrong with my house or my yard, you know? And, you know, it's like one drop of dirt or a brush or a leaf that falls on his side, he'll sue. You know, it's just that power trippy. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm sorry that there is something back in his life that he wasn't happy about, that now he has not resolved his issues. Now he's trying to take this out on neighbors, and it's unfortunate that he cannot communicate effectively under a certain situation and be respectable enough to do something the right way. Obviously, he still needs to work on his past so he can communicate effectively in the world, you know. And
yeah.
You know, because they probably think, oh, what a neighbor. It's like, no, there's something at the core going on. You know, he might have a father dying or whatever it is, and he's mad.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
But I don't think they all see that. You know, they just see some grumpy, mean neighbor that might be. No, maybe he, because I briefly met him driving by. Hi, how, welcome to the neighborhood. And, you know, because everybody has an ounce of goodness in them, you know, but it, something's bringing all that out.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, you know, when we talked about forgiveness, you know,
right.
Having that compassion, you know, to say, okay, well, I don't know the whole story here, but there's something going on here. And then to approach it by separating the behavior from the person.
Right.
And just like you said, the as people, as human beings, we're, as souls, we're all equal. We're all on that same plane. It's just that, okay, well, he's not behaving the greatest here, but there, you know, there may be something that's driving that, so I can still have compassion, you know, mm-hmm. in the absence of knowing.
You know, I almost feel like right now I'm thinking that if I knock on your door and say, hey, you know, I'm on neither side, you know, I do massage, you know, not really selling my business, but saying, hey, you know, I wish you the best of luck, you know, and whatever you're going through. And, you know, like there's one, the, like the, I saw the girl today, and I gave her three grapefruit that my one client Topper up in Death Mountain gave me. I went to give him some ham and bean soup, and so I gave them to her, and her brother was caught like out in the desert, like looking through a camera at some girl, you know, teenage stuff, you know. But they had a big thing, and then, you know, so the whole neighborhood's like, oh, you know, but like, no, not me. I just like, I still high. I think it's pretty cool. They're like on the metaphysical type, you know, and all that. And so, you know, I always wave to them going by and this and that. And the guy, I forget his name, he gave my son like this little toy electric guitar like 3 or 4 years ago. And you know, and she's a nice girl. She's like, sick Beth. She's like, you're the best one out of the whole neighborhood, or something like that. You know, like, oh, you know, and she told me about her job, but it's like, yeah, you gotta look beyond all that.
Yeah, and then just again, by you resonating at that frequency, you become what's called a person of increase. You become a person of gratitude. You become a person of abundance, and mm-hmm. it's because it's that it's like that magnetic field that you put around you. And you vibrate at that. That's what you have in your life, and people will feel that. And just by you, and we talked about that, just you walking into a room, you change
yes.
the options of the people around you.
Just like you Walmart. Know? Like, I was walking in to get something or whatever, and like there was a guy in the nail filing, Rayon guy, and he looked up and was, like, staring at me for a second, you know, and then, like, other people, I'm like, what do I have something on me? What, you know, and my hair out of place? What, you know, and it's just kind of like as I was going along, you know, it's just kind of, you know.
Yeah, but
you know,
that's that frequency that you're giving off, you know. And
right.
if somebody is living in that vibration all the time, then people sense that, people feel that, and say, oh, this is somebody I want to hang out with. This is somebody that I like, I could trust. I don't know this person, but there's something about them. You know, if you can give somebody any kind of increase, because people want more of life. And if you're giving that off, you're giving off that vibe of more of life, people feel that, and people will be drawn to you.
Even the little kids at the jump time, the little girl wanted to come over. She kind of like came right up to me, like to jump by me, like for a dodgeball, you know.
Yeah.
This is like, okay. It's like,
but
he helped out in the court one day. We had this, we were fighting the houses being built behind us, and I was able to go, and I think I was the last one to speak, like, you know, hey, well, how would you feel if you lived in this house here, and you were looking at that, or whatever, you know, and it was just like a dead silence over the whole thing for a few minutes before they talked again. And last time I wanted to go, but that's when, like, my ex had left a month before. I had, like, walking pneumonia, upper bronchitis, and upper respiratory all at the same time. I'm like, shoot. And they lost. And I don't know. I don't want to think that I am that powerful. But it's like, well, I made a difference where they had to stall the last one.
Yeah.
But, you know. But anyways, okay.
So no, it's good. And so, you know, the lesson this week is it's called training your mind, and it really will. I mean, there's parts of this lesson that when I first heard it, I first started studying it. So it was like, oh, it was so profound. It just hit me, and I, you know. So let's dive into it a little bit, and I think it's going to segue nicely into what we're talking about here. So last week, you know, as we discussed, we talked about the importance of surrounding yourself with people who can support you in moving toward creating your dream. And again, it doesn't have to happen in a week. It's something that you're going to be, you know, life is a river. It's always flowing. You're going to meet new people. So it's okay if you don't have that person to be the mastermind, but you understand it now. So just to cover the three benefits of the mastermind: you tap into infinite intelligence through the power of the mastermind, you tap into the collective experience of your mastermind partners, so you each have, you know, each member has a life experience. And you also tap into partners in believing who believe in you when you have a hard time believing in yourself. And we all, no matter what financial status that we're in, no matter what, you know, car we're driving, no matter what house we live or neighborhood or whatever, we all have those times when we have a hard time believing in ourselves about something. And so that's what it's about. So it's really has nothing to do with what, you know, again, what we see on the surface. It's just really connecting on that human level. So this week, training your mind. So we're in phase three of dream building. We're in the acceleration phase, the building phase. So we're going to continue to move forward into acceleration toward your dream. So again, we're going to keep applying. So it's very important at this point in the process to continue to train our mind so that we don't get tripped up by the circumstances that may come our way. So that's what we're talking about here. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. You know, something happened. You got this grumpy neighbor, this and that. We're not going to get tripped up by it. We're not going to react, you know, to circumstances. We'll respond. Mm-hmm. We'll respond in a much more healthy way. And so we want to learn to think more and more from the mind of the person who is living that life.
Oh,
so you
okay.
Have your vision, right? You have that vision. That's the person. So it's you living that vision. So when you do your vision work, it's happening in the present time. You are living that. And so the more we do that, the more we learn to think from the vision because we're becoming that person. So it's not like it's – because oftentimes it's like we'll see and it's happening outside of us. It's not happening outside of us. It's happening within us. It's happening through us. And so once we start to do that, it's like they say when you start to learn a new language, you know that you're really starting to master the language when you start to dream in that language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you know that it's really getting deep inside. So when you start to think more and more from the mind of the person who's living that life, the life you designed. So today we're going to consider three disciplines of the mind that we can layer into our lives here. The power of decision, the first one, the power of the question, and the power of alignment. And I'm telling you, when I first studied this and learned this, it was just so profound. It was like, whoa, you know, it was like one of those, you know, whoa moments. So let's dive deep into each one of these. So the power of decision. There was a man named Raymond Charles Barker, and he wrote a book called The Power of Decision. And he said there's only one success process. You know what you want, decide it shall happen, and act upon the decision. So that's the power of the decision. So know what you want, decide it shall happen, and act upon the decision. Only the dreamer who acted with decision on his dream brought forth something new and valuable. And even Napoleon Hill found, when he interviewed all these successful people at the time before he wrote Think and Grow Rich, one of those top principles is people who are successful are decisive. They're decisive. They make a decision, they move, right? So decisiveness mm-hmm. is the hallmark of all successful people. Decisiveness. The word decide means to cut away from. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Mary, like, told the story about the man who carved the bust of Lincoln, and he was cutting away anything that was not Lincoln. And I heard a similar story when Michelangelo was carving the statue of David out of marble. And he was like, you know, how do you know David was in there? How do you know what to, you know? He said, I just cut away what's not David. And so it's the same thing in our lives. It's like we are this medium, this living clay, this living block of marble, this living, you know, stuff. And so we have to decide. Decide means to cut away. We have to start cutting away what is not us. What is not in our dream? What is not in that life that we want to live? Because along the way, you know, we're taking on other people's stuff. We're doing this. We're doing that. And it's not really who we are. It's not us. And so by cutting that away, part of what will accelerate you toward your dream is your willingness to cut away anything that is unlike that which you're creating for yourself. Now, this could include people. It could include activities. It could include words, you know, that are coming out of your mouth, words that are going mm-hmm. into your mind, right? It could be cutting away media input, TV, radio, internet, books, cutting those things away. You know, when you cut away something, it's important to fill that void with what you do want. What do you want to fill your mind and time? What's that?
Can I say something really quick?
Yeah,
it's funny because the DirecTV guy at Walmart that same day was trying to sell me. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, how many TV channels or whatever? So I said, I have three that barely work and we don't even watch TV. What? I wish him luck and all that good stuff. Yeah. I gave him a little time. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's true because sometimes it's like, you know, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like I rarely watch TV. You know, I'll stream more, like maybe Netflix or something. I'll stream more or YouTube, but I hardly watch TV, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, it's like there's a protection prayer where you cut away, you know, principalities of darkness, hexes and curses and generational curses. You cut that stuff away and you bind it up and you send it to the foot of Jesus to be his footstool and that never returns. But then you have to fill that gap. You have to fill that void. So it's like, as it says in Scripture, it's like you sweep your house clean, right? You sweep all that stuff out. You get the demons and the principalities. You get all that stuff out. But then there's a void. There's a gap, right? There's a space where those things were, and you have to fill it with something else. Because if not, what does the Scripture say? They'll just come back, right? And they'll bring friends with them. And so you don't want. So in our in this work, we're sweeping away those paradigms. We're sweeping away those thought patterns. We're sweeping away maybe some people in our lives that are just they're not feeding us. They're not, you know, or that the TV, like you said, or internet, or books, or food, or whatever. We sweep them away. It's all right. Well, now, what are you going to fill it with? So you fill it with what what do you want to fill your mind, time, and attention with? You fill it with your vision. So the person living that life, your ideal life that you designed, what did they fill it with? They didn't fill it with, you know, more grumpy people or more people that eat Cheetos and watch TV all day. They didn't fill it with that. They filled it with something else. And so it's like what Scripture says, you know, fill it with God's light and God's glory, right? So you're filling it with something else. So that's this work, is we decide. So that's the power of decision. Now, I had a friend recently out in California, and, you know, he was going through a rough, really rough time with his partner. 19 years they were together, and he, you know, they were like, there was abuse, there was all this stuff. And so I was coaching him through this, and I, you know, we were going through this lesson about deciding, and I said, you have to make a decision. I said, it all comes down to making a decision, because once you make a decision in your conscious mind, in your self-conscious mind, that sends a signal into your subconscious mind that, oh, we're moving in this direction, and your subconscious mind starts to move the energy. It starts to gather resources to say, okay, that's where we're going. By making that decision, firm decision, boom, or we're going in that direction, all of a sudden these resources you didn't even think you had start to show up. The energies, the resources, the thoughts, the support. And within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, his life was completely different. I mean, is he still cleaning up the mess on aisle four? Yeah, he's still cleaning that up. He's still dealing with some of the shrapnel.
Right.
You know, but it's completely different. The vision for his life, he's like, wow, he's starting to breathe again. He's starting to live again. He's starting to feel happiness again. He feels safe again. And it all came down to that one moment where he made that decision and said, boom. It's just like Rosa Parks when she was on that bus, you know, and they said, nope, you got to move to the back of the bus. And she had every legal right to sit where she was sitting. She said, no. And she said, I don't know. It just came over me. I made a decision. I said, no, this is, I belong in this seat. And she had the courage, even though the bus driver was armed, he had a sidearm, he had a firearm, and he was legal. He could have legally shot and killed her. But she said no. She said, not this time. She said, I don't know, something came up in me, and I made a decision to say no. I made a decision to stay where I was. And that's when it comes to that point in your life when you're like, no, I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to move in this direction. So that's the power of decision. Extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. So once you make that decision, things start to move. And that doesn't mean that you might have to course correct and that sort of thing, because sometimes it might be like, oh, you might be off track a little bit, but you're still moving. You made a decision. You're moving in the direction. Really powerful. So the second part of that, well, first of all, how did that land for you?
I pretty good. I like that. And I can see how it's just a perfect example. There's this one guy that I knew that in the past, but he wasn't like going to be my life partner or really any partner, put it that way. And so I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, no, busy, sorry, gotta go, you know, and bye. And then so I had this text yesterday, you know, hey, how you doing, my old friend? And, you know, okay, can I grab a pizza, you know, or play pool and, you know. And so I said, who is this? I have a new phone. And then he texted and it's like, oh, it's that guy. And I'm like, no, I'm not, you know, like I haven't had a chance to respond back because I didn't really care to, but I will be nice enough. And so it's kind of like, no, I don't need that type of stuff back into my life. I'm looking for my life partner, you know, and I'll wait, you know, and then there is someone at the Sprouts, you know, and my guy from New York, who I wish he's actually from Vermont, would hurry up and get back, start trading, but his daughter's in town. He's like, really? Yeah. Well, what do you think he wants? You know, come on. You know, like, and, you know, he's a nurse, I'm a massager, whatever, you know, it's like, so, like, I was kind of like, oh, I'm like, make these little tiny things like, Happy Easter, whatever. I did that to him, and then something, and then I said, "Oh well," he said something. Well, I'm Jewish, I shit, and then I said, "Well, I'm Roman Catholic, so that won't work out because I'm looking for my life partner will be Catholic, or something like that, you know." And yeah, I kind of said it kind of coldly in a way, but like, no, sorry, I don't want to waste my time with you or my energy because I'm leaving that room, that time, that energy open for the people that I want in my life. And so I've been kind of, so that really resonates. So I have to, like, keep shutting this one up. And the person's a nice guy, but no, I don't need any of that. I don't need, you know, that stuff of the past. It's kind of like I have the bracelet that my son found with the arrows. You go forward, never back.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. So you decide. I mean, so that you know, that energy, that particular, you know, you don't want that. You decide. You say, nope, that's not in my vision. That's not what I want. And it wasn't really cold. That you were telling the truth.
Right.
You know,
and
that's not what you see in your vision.
Problem.
This is what I hold in my vision. And knowing, because you had history already, knowing, you know, now, can people change? Yeah, people can change. But if you're just not feeling it, no. I don't need that. You decide. You cut away. You know,
right.
And sometimes people come into our lives for a season. You know, sometimes we say, oh, people come to my lives. We think they're going to stay. They're going to be with us for the whole journey. And somewhere along the line, it turns out they're not. They drift away or something happens. And the analogy that I use is it's like a rocket. Like if you ever see like, when they blast a rocket off into space.
Mm-hmm.
You see the main rocket, and then you have these booster rockets that are on the outside. And the booster rockets are like these people that come into our lives. And you launch, and you're going up. And what happens when you reach a certain altitude? You reach the edge of the Earth's atmosphere, is the booster rockets fall off. They've done their job. They were with the rocket for a specific season. But they were never designed to go where you're going. They were never designed to go to the altitude that you're going, that the rocket's going. And so they fall off. And sometimes it's hard. You know, sometimes it's somebody that we had married or somebody that we thought we were going to, you know, our life partner. But sometimes they peel off and you just keep going. You keep growing. You go to a different place. So,
yay.
Yay. So think of that. Think of the rocket. It's like, no, you're just a booster rocket. I'm already past that. So that's the power of decision. So the second one is the power of the question. Now, this is equally as powerful because it's been said that the quality of our life is determined by the quality of the questions we ask.
Yeah.
We want to learn to ask questions that reflect the highest possibility for our lives. So if you think about it, just like where we use Google, right? We do like a search, like a web search on your computer. Just like with Google, you put in a search, you know, a phrase, and you'll, like, instantly you get all of this information come back at us, right? Well, the universe, God, you know, infinite intelligence, will respond to provide an answer to whatever question we give it. So it's like, you know, we go and we use Google for the internet, but we use our intuition and we ask the right questions of the infinite, right? So, for example, we could ask, how am I ever going to pay my bills this month, right? That's one way to ask it. Or we could ask, how can I bring in more money this month, you know, more than I have any month all year, right? Each will produce very different answers. So it's like when Mary talked about, like, you know, she went to visit her sister after her mother died, and she's on the Oregon coast, and they decided to go to the movies. So she went to the computer and to Google, and she said, movies in Seaside. I mean, that was the question, right? That was the keywords. And all of a sudden she's like, you know how many Seasides are all over the world? There was, she was getting hit from Seaside, Australia, and he saw Seaside, New Jersey, and Seaside this and Seaside that, because she wasn't being specific enough.
Right.
So she said, oh, okay, well, that was, you know, that was a good lesson here. It's the same thing if we put it into Google and we ask something that's too general, too broad, well, we're going to get information that's too general or too broad, and then we're going to have to sift through. But if we refine our search, if we refine the questions that we ask of the infinite, you know, it's like I say, oh, you know, I want apples. So you just grab some seeds, you plant the seeds, and the trees grow, and they're red apples. And say, I don't want red apples, I want green apples. Well, you weren't specific. You just said you wanted apples. And so...
Perfect example. My cat, she's sitting right over here listening. She will bring in birds, but they're dead. And I said, and I'm like, oh my God, you know. I said, Abby, because I did this with my last cat. And I said, Abby, please bring in live animals. I don't want, if you want to bring me a gift, make sure it's alive. You know, don't kill it. Bring in the life. So the other day, I'm in the kitchen here. I'm doing something. I look over, I see the cat, and then I look over, and there's a mouse next to him. I'm like, oh my God, oh no. And then I'm like, I go over, it's alive. So we grabbed it and brought it back outside, you know, and like, but now we're telling her, no, I think that the mouse is eating the garden, but I don't want to assume or blame. Because I said, you know, Abby, if you're eating the garden, stay out of the garden. Or if it's a mouse, you can have the mouse. You know, yes, you can, Abby. You can. That's kind of like telling, but asking, yeah, to define more of the question.
Exactly. And you know, it's the cat's nature. So when cats do bring in animals, whether they're dead or alive, they're actually, it's a sign of respect for us, right?
Right.
So like when, you know, when Adina and I were still married and right after Sophia was born, our first daughter, our cat started to bring in animals because now we have a new member of the family, right? Started to bring animals into the house and just line them up on the stairs. Like she wouldn't have to bring it to the crib, but she would come up, just lay them across the step. And
aww.
It's like, oh, well, thank you. Thank you for that, you know, And sometimes, you know, the animals were dead, but one time she brought in a live squirrel, and the squirrel was just sort of stunned. And I was like, oh, the squirrel's still alive. I'm going to get this outside. So we're still praising her. So, oh, thank you so much for this gift, but we're going to bring this one back outside, you know. So it's the same thing. That is a perfect example. So it's like, okay, you know, what is it here that we want? We have to ask the question specifically, you know. And we also know, just like when we were talking about, we'll see appearances of disease, but we know the truth that there's health. We see appearances of poverty or lack of money, but we know that there's abundance. We know that there's financial abundance. There's abundance for everything. Well, it's the same thing here. Is we know that there's no question that you can ask for which there's not an answer.
Right.
Right? When we understand this, it keeps us out of anxiety and worry. Because don't forget, the source of all things, God, where we come from, knows all, sees all, hears all. He's got perfect hearing, perfect seeing. He knows everything. And that's the power that's breathing you. And so when we go back to that first lesson saying, the power that's breathing me is greater than any circumstance, fact, or condition, anything that I could ever face in my life. You know why? Because there's always a solution to any challenge or any problem. There's always an answer to every question, without a doubt. Because so we're and that's what we learn through this work. We lean in. We learn to really lean into that because we know. We know there's abundance. We know there's health. And we know that there's an answer. There's a solution to every problem, every challenge, any question. So we know that. Mm-hmm. We lean into that. So learning to formulate a powerful question is the second discipline of the mind that will help us to accelerate, will help you to accelerate toward your dream, right? Okay. So the power of the decision, the power of the question, very powerful stuff. And we keep remembering, we keep learning. This is our disciplines. It's like when we start to fall, like our paradigms are coming up, okay, this is some of the stuff we can lean into. And we say, you know, we know this. Then the third one is the power of alignment. Now, me being on the spiritual journey, when I got to this part, it was so profound. It really, really moved me. So the power of alignment. Staying in alignment with our purpose and vision is the key to the manifestation of our dream. So we always go back to the vision. We always go back to our purpose. And sometimes our circumstances can threaten to throw us off balance. Things happen. Mm-hmm. The neighbor starts to sue again. Something happens, this and that. Starts to throw us off balance. But here's a 5-step thinking process that will help you stay aligned with your vision when you're facing challenging circumstances. And I have to remind myself of this all the time because that's mm-hmm. life. Life is a river. It's always moving. So 5-step thinking process. The first is God is. That's realization. God is. There's one presence, one power, one life. God is. We bring this to mind, and we lift your awareness to this realization. So God is. That's just profound in itself, just that realization, okay? Mm-hmm. We are the intermediary between source, between God and the physical world. Life happens through us. God expresses through us. And so that's our first power of alignment, is aligning with that source. God is. That's realization. The second is I am. It's that powerful I am. That's recognition. I am part of the one presence and the one power. I recognize that I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I'm connected to this infinite mind, this infinite presence. And this infinite mind has answers to everything I'm facing. Everything. And there is an infinite presence, and I'm part of it. I begin to have an experience of realization and recognition. Even Dr. Wayne Dyer, he wrote a book, you know, he wrote many books, but there was one of the quotes in his book, he said, there is not a problem that does not have a spiritual solution. Because he said every problem is a spiritual problem, if you really think about it. Every mm-hmm. problem is a spiritual problem. So it's just a matter of there is a solution to all of it. Okay, so the first step, God is, realization. Second step, I am, which is recognition. The third step is the truth is. And this is what we've been talking about. The truth is. This is discernment. Discernment. The truth is that there's a power in the universe that is bigger than anything I'm facing right now. The truth is that the power that is within me is greater than anything outside of me. The truth is that there is an answer to every question and a solution to every problem. That's the truth. The truth is. That's discernment. So when we face these circumstances, oh, I have this bill that came up, I'm looking at my checkbook, I don't have... The truth is there's abundance. We're discerning between the truth and the circumstance. We're not going to discount the truth. We're not going to say, oh, you know, we still, you know, we see it. We're going to say, okay. But the truth is I'm going to respond. I'm not going to react to it. I'm not going to live that condition-based life. I'm going to live a vision-based life. So that's the third step, truth is. The fourth step is I release. I release. I let go of the struggle and the angst. This is what it looks like when it's getting solved. Sometimes, you know, as a massage therapist, as, you know, sometimes people get a massage. Sometimes they get onto a healing journey. They have, sometimes when you start to stir things up, it looks like things are getting worse than they before they get better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like that healing, they call it healing crisis. So sometimes that happens too in our lives. We're like, oh, we're focused, we're moving in the direction of our dream, and seem things like, oh my gosh, things look like they're getting worse. But this is what it looks like when things are getting solved. So let go of all the thoughts of what might go wrong or what's gone wrong in the past. If it were all working out, how would I feel? Put yourself in that vibration. It's all working out. If it's all working out, how do I feel? Okay, there's a storm going on here, but it's okay. I'm going to go through the storm. I'm going to grow through it. That's the release, and that's what Scripture tells us too. You know, come to God with everything. You know, with your petitions, mm-hmm. with thanksgiving and gratitude. No worry, no angst. No angst, because that power in you is so much bigger. So that's the fourth step, release. Then the fifth step is I am grateful. So that's gratitude, the power of gratitude. So letting go and feeling grateful are two sides of the same coin. I let go of the conditions and I say, I may not know the right answer, the answer right now, but I do know the answer exists, and for that I'm grateful. So you may pose a question, you may not have that answer right away, but be grateful that the answer is there, and I'm going to stay in that vibration of gratitude, and that answer will appear, it will come. It does every time. God shows up every single time. So learning to keep ourselves in alignment with our dream, regardless of the circumstances, is the third discipline that will help accelerate us toward our dream. So that's the power of the alignment, that five steps of alignment. So it's powerful stuff. It's so powerful. So, you okay? Need some water?
Yeah, just not enough water in the allergy thing that I have to still work on.
look at bee pollen, because my sister is the middle child out of five, and she's the only one that got allergies and all kinds of stuff, and she was told by a friend of mine. One time she said, you know, you should look into taking bee pollen, especially local bee pollen, because it's, you know, it's made from, you know, it's bee pollen from the local flora. And he said, somebody told me this years ago, and I would start to take it like a month before the season. I mean, you could start taking it now. And he said, I haven't suffered with allergies, you know, really that much since then. And my sister was the same thing. She started taking bee pollen every time the season would come up. And she's doing really well with her allergies. So
thank you.
Take a look at that. It's amazing stuff.
There's also like he taught me like how to tap my cheekbones, like right in the center below my eye, and then on the brow towards the edge a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't had time to do all that because I guess I'm allergic to mesquite and this corn and wheat, but the cereal and the piece of bread. The wheat bread and this corn cereal that was organic purple flake, they both have canola oil. So he's going to bring canola oil with him next time because it might be the wheat.
Right.
Yeah. I forgot about the honey.
Yeah, yeah. Honey, bee pollen. It's all, there's a power in that too. So the life work this week is the power of decision. Okay, so we're going to look at the power of decision. So write a list of 1 to 3 things that you decide to cut away from your life. I know you've already started that because we already talked about it, but 1 to 3 things that you decide to cut away from your life in order to allow your dream to emerge. So think of it like you're a sculptor, okay? And you got this block of marble in front of you, and you are in that block of marble. It's you inside that piece. And now you're the sculptor, you're the artist, you're the creator, and you start to chip away. So what is it that you want to chip away? Now, this exercise is just one to three things, but obviously, you know, if you're a sculptor, there's probably 1,000 chips, right, or thousands of chips, the little things that you're going to take away that doesn't belong. And so what it is, if you think about you got this block of marble or block of wood or whatever, you start to chip away, and all of a sudden you start to see you emerge. You start to see that artwork emerge. And that's an exciting moment, right? You start to see these pieces come out. And so think of yourself that way. You're starting to chip away the stuff that doesn't belong in your dream. You decide that to cut them away, and then you start to emerge. That life you would love to live, you start to emerge, and it just becomes more and more exciting. So continue listening to meditation number 3. You know, to get still, get quiet each day. And then for next week, we're going to look at lesson 15, okay, and do the exercises in the workbook. But like I said, it's amazing because you're already doing the work even before we get to the lesson. You're already applying them, right?
Wait, so yeah, I'm doing lesson. I go get the lesson 15 right now, right?
Lesson 15, yeah. Start to work on that.
Okay,
next week is week 11. So, yeah, week 11, but lesson 15. Yeah, so go to the coaching portal and grab that.
Okay. I don't know if this is really, like, one of the three, because I don't know. Like, I'm trying to, like, get to bed earlier because I finally went to bed at 10:37 last night instead of sitting up and trying to straighten this and that and that. I don't know if that's like a cutting away, like a better
It is. Yeah, and it's funny that you say that because I do the same thing, right? I go to bed too late. And like if you look at Chinese medicine, just in Chinese medicine, we're supposed to go because every organ system, there's organ systems that are paired up, right? Like liver, gallbladder. And so we're supposed to be in bed asleep by 10:30 or somewhere before 11. Because between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m., that's the wood energy. That's the liver and gallbladder energy. And at that time, we should be sleeping because part of the liver function is to repair and to mend the body, right? We recycle our hormones and all of that stuff. So if we're still awake, and I'm guilty of this all the time, I go to bed too late, is that it interrupts that function. Liver, our wood energy, our liver gallbladder energy, especially during that time, 11 to 1. And what happens is if we're still awake during that time, you know, especially in Chinese medicine, the liver is the master planner and the gallbladder is like the general that executes the plan. And so if we're still awake, we're still conscious, that energy starts to rise up. And then we have even more difficult falling asleep and that sort of thing. We don't get the rest that we need. And so I'm, like I said, I'm guilty. Like last night, I was doing stuff, fixing stuff on the computer, and then I was doing this, and it was like 1 a.m. by the time I went to bed.
Right.
This is not healthy, and I know this. Even from a theory point of view, from Chinese medicine, from just practical use, from this work, you know. So we got to get to bed earlier, you know.
Yeah. Lynn said, Beth, you need to be in bed by 10, from 10 to 1, you know, but. Yeah, I think she probably told me
10 to 1, but that gives you that yeah. So 10, you know, even better. 10, you know, especially during that time. You know, because you want to be sure that you're out by that time. But so that's good. You know, it's true. And there's reasons behind it, you know. So that is, yes, that could be one of the things you put on your list to say, oh, I'm going to decide that I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to serve my body. Because my body is this is the temple. This is the temple of my soul, the temple of my spirit. This is the physical support system that's going to carry me through. So I'm going to decide. I'm not going to do those patterns anymore. You know, I'm going to decide I'm not going to sleep late. I'm going to go to sleep earlier.
So unless you win tickets to a comedy club that I got to that happened on my birthday, I'm like, oh, that's a good thing. Yay, okay.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, life, you know. It's not, you can't be so rigid, but if you got stuff, that abundance came in your life. I won these tickets. Thank you.
Right.
You know, God, and enjoy it. Enjoy it fully. You know, this is like somebody gives you a compliment. Thank you. Receive. Because it's a circulation, right? Give and receive. Give and receive. And so you received. You received this gift. That's beautiful.
Right.
When are you going?
Oh, I went last weekend.
Last weekend. Oh, good, good. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, good.
So that
good.
Was really fun. Yeah, I got we had like six of my friends. The one couldn't. She two were Martin, and then and the other his friend. That's the first time they were there, I think. So that was new. I mean, you know. So yeah, it was good. Oh, then my friend Catherine that moved from California like 3 weeks ago, and my other friend Gina would usually come, but she was tired, and she probably did her little Taoism thing, like, no, I'm not going to go, or the, you know, and she and it worked out because Catherine was gonna get an Uber back to her apartment. I'm like, no, I'll take you. You know, geez, I wish I could have picked you up if I would have known that. And so,
right.
You know, it worked out where, you know, I can spend a little more time with her on the ride to her place and all that. And so, yeah, it was, so yeah, altering just a few of those days for the.
But I just want to point out something here, because part of your vision, and you just shared with that with me just over the past couple of weeks, is like, remember the time you said you went to the mall, you were by yourself, and you saw like people walking around, and they had friends. Well, guess what? You had that experience.
Yes.
You were with a group of friends. You know,
right.
The abundance came to you. You won these tickets, and you had a night out, and you had friends around you. Six people, right? That's what you said.
Right.
You had this
right.
group
Thank
of people.
You. Right.
Remember? And how did that feel?
But,
how did that feel to live in that?
Good, because it was like when I got there, the three were already on the side because that would be facing the guy anyway. But, you know, and then I was on the other side, and they were all, like, eager to see me. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, cool. You know, so I did most of the talking. I kind of felt bad, but, like, until the other one showed up, you know.
So remember that. So when you do your meditation, when you get quiet today or any moment, remember what that felt like. Step back into that, because that's a piece of the vision of the life that you want to live. You lived it. It's already happening. It's manifesting. You winning those tickets didn't happen by accident. That was manifested because of the life that you're living, the vision that you're living.
And on my birthday. My birthday wasn't going that great, you know.
Well, see, that's why you're going to erase that part. You're going to cut that. My birthday went so well.
It turned out wonderfully. Yeah.
Turned out wonderful. So that's why it's like, oh, the paradigm coming up. Oh, another birthday. It's not going to work out. Nope, I'm going to cut that away. I'm deciding. I'm cutting that away because that's not who I am. That's not the person living my ideal life, the life I love to live. I'm going to cut that away. I'm surrounded by people I love. I'm surrounded by friends. And then you could pull up that vision of being at the comedy club. Oh, how that felt. Right?
Right.
You already had that. That's another, like, another piece of the puzzle you can plug in and you can go to and visit over and over and over again. Get into that state. Hold that vision. Hold that feeling tone. It's there. It's beautiful.
Okay. Great.
Good job. It's exciting, right?
Thank you. Yeah. I forget those little things, you know.
That's why I'm here. I'm here to remind you and say, look, you know, you are that person already. You are living that. And I just also want to point out that the power of decision, you said yes to yourself when you decided to go into this program, when you decided to do this coaching program, the Dream Builder program. You made a decision, even though it's like circumstances said, oh, my checking account, this and that. No, I'm making this decision. And look at everything that's been happening. Right?
Right.
Things start to align up. Things start to align, and you start to grow. And then you have these moments. Well, I didn't have that before. Oh, now I have it. It came out of the blue.
Right.
Because
so thank you.
You're vibrating at that. So, well, it's just like with your massage clients. I know it happened with me all the time. It's like you start, like somebody comes in and they have a certain issue and you work with them and it's like, oh, they're like, oh, I'm not getting better. I'm like, what? Let's go back. Let's review where you came from. When you stepped into this, you had this problem and this problem and this problem. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't have that anymore. Right? So you just start to change your focus. Say, listen, sometimes you have to remind, you know, and sometimes you can't see it because you're in the forest and say, oh, but look at that beautiful tree. Isn't that part of the vision that you want? Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to keep you
okay.
Yeah, keep looking at the right things here. So good job. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. So
thank you for
what's that?
And thank you for being on the helping me through all this and
Absolutely.
Give me all this information.
So next week is May 7th, Tuesday, May 7th, mm-hmm. the same time. And I'll shoot you a text like I did. And we'll have a great week. You know, things come up, get wobbly, or even a praise report. You know, reach out to me. I'm here.
Okay. Thank you, because like with the baseball, which will be ending, you know, when school ends, so that will quiet down there a little bit. And
yeah.
Stuff like that.
That's good. All righty. Enjoy.
Okay. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
You too.
Thank
Enjoy.
You.
Bye. Bye.